Her humor's rather wry, and she likes Seven Samurai. This is Sanjana Needs a Friend.
Welcome back, everyone. We've had 30-ish minutes of the conversation so far. We're locked and loaded for another 20 to 30 minutes of just sheer goodness.
Yeah, we have great guests. I don't know about you, but I have been enjoying the conversation so far.
Ugh, it's been a drag. No, not at all. Of course, conversation is
well. Maybe Alex thinks it's a drag because we're not talking about basketball. I don't know why he thinks we're talking about basketball.
He got the wrong memo, apparently. That was from my other podcast.
Let's be honest. Right now in Canada, we do not really want to be talking about basketball.
You're right.
Those Raptors, they're not even at home. They're far off in another country, losing games.
Yeah.
OG, yeah. Lowry, come on. Siakam.
Even Van Vliet, if I'm being honest.
Yes. Let's just name every basketball player.
We do have some of the most fun names to say, though. Like, is there a more fun name to say than OG Anunoby?
I think last season when you'd hear Serge Ibaka from Port Alberni.
Fair enough.
It's okay. Things change. We move on.
Sometimes. Other times we grow bitter and disillusioned.
All right. We should stop talking about basketball and we should talk about our friends. Sanjana, what do you like so far about our guests we've had on this episode?
I like that they're super talkative, which actually, because this was the first episode that we recorded, was super helpful. Because conversation just flowed really easily. They're all great conversationalists and they have such interesting stories and such good insight. Okay, this is my fifth year on staff. Dave, as you will know, because you were there for my intern year.
Yep.
And for sure, I've seen some people get pretty disillusioned with the job, burnout. I've had some seasons of being like, I don't have a team. You know, for a while, it was like literally just me in the whole province. And that was really hard. But all of these guys really love what they do. And not just in the way that's like, I'm really happy to go to work every day, but in a way that's like, this work is meaningful and it's an honor and a privilege to be part of it. And I think that was just really helpful perspective for me.
Yeah, I think if I was a teenager, I would absolutely love working at camp with Alex. If I was also a teenager, I would love to get a caffeine addiction from hanging out with Vanessa at coffee shops, though not Starbucks. I really look forward to her kicking the Starbucks habit and getting some good coffee. But then, if I was a teenager, no. As a young man,
yeah.
So I'll say I'm a young man still. When I hear Ben, I'm like, hey, numbers, that's not so bad. Maybe I should be an accountant. No, I should not be that. But I would just love to work more with Ben. That's the thing. I just want to work with these people more.
Yeah.
The more that I hear their stories and their passion for the job.
Totally. And like, you know, Ben, CFO, chief fun officer, as we discovered, he like the perspective that he brings to leadership is just so cool and unique, I feel like, in the world of highfalutin chief officers in organizations, you know, like who looks at their job and that is literally about numbers and thinks, nah, this is about people. It's like a pretty cool attitude.
Yeah. So tell me, how are you seeing this conversation playing into our Reset 1121, which we mentioned last time, we are right in the thick of?
So in the all staff meeting that Nigel hosted last month, I don't know when this is getting released, in January, one of the questions that we talked about was like, what is needed? What sorts of relationships are needed for this I got lost in the metaphor, but like for this train to run, for people to make it to different stations in the
railroad to freedom.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't really know how to answer that question, but I think like part of the quality of the relationships that is needed is like just increased trust and respect. I mean, I feel like we have respect for one another, but it's kind of this like arm's length kind of deal. I think we need to, as an organization, have a better understanding of what each other does, which is of course what this episode is all about. So that's great. But like to the point where we can really trust each other to do our respective jobs well, like with each other's people. You know, I had a student leader who decided to, because everything is online anyways, go live with his buddy in Calgary for a semester, because he's never lived away from home and he just like wanted a change of pace and wanted to go snowboarding, and you can't really do that in Nova Scotia very well. So I connected him with Vanessa, actually before we did this episode, because I was like, oh, I know Ness, she's cool, she likes mountains, maybe she can connect with my students and keep him more or less on the straight and narrow, maybe give him some leadership opportunities because he really needs that. And it was like, okay, if I didn't know that Vanessa was open to having volunteers around, or if I didn't know that she was someone who could talk sports and connect with a 20-something dude who's a bit of a bro, then I wouldn't know to make that connection for him. And that would be a real missed opportunity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally does. Yeah. I mean, I've been thinking about in this season at university, we're kind of, what I'm appreciating is we are looking at what are the gifts we have in our context that God can be using. And so I've appreciated in the all staff calls, we've been looking at some Canadian history and seeing, and even like what you're doing with John Stackhouse, the history of Canada, to be able to see what are the gifts God's given us to be able to move forward together as a movement, I think is really great. And so this conversation helps me actually just name what are the gifts we have in our movement, and those gifts are people. So yeah, it's been great. Mm-hmm. Now, before we jump into the second half of our conversation, just a quick announcement. Stay tuned to the end of the episode for information on how you can take part in one of these podcasts. We've got a really fun idea you might enjoy. So that being said,
let's go make some friends.
What about you, Alex and Ben? Have other things you wanted to do with your life, or did you always want to be an accountant and a camp counselor director?
Yeah, ever since I was 7, I was like, I want to work with youth. I love that answer, Vanessa, because I also love this question. Because I think coupled with it is sort of this societal expectation of like having to explain yourself. And I also think, for me, growing up in like the school system in the 90s, there was, at least in my experience, like sort of, hey, these are your options and you're going to go to university and choose these options sort of a thing. But then coupled with that was the rest of my life, which is where my dad was a clown and like that was his career. And so I'm a circus kid. And so there's this whole like expectation piece, like, what are you going to do? How are you going to explain yourself? And then like the rest of my life, which was the circus, and people who like when you talk about like just following your dreams or however you want to put it, it's a whole other world, right? And so I'm very thankful that I grew up in a space where I had parents that weren't putting sort of like expectations on those things necessarily for me, outside of expectations of like character and conviction, if that makes sense. It wasn't around like, it was like, you do whatever you end up doing, but like, you know, be kingdom focused and this is how we're going to do it. And so I'm very thankful for that, because myself as well, being an ENFP and all of that, like I actually had to like drop out of university to start to begin to figure out why I was even going and what I was doing, you know? And so for me, like where I am right now, it is just like one big joyful accident. where I just so happened to, I just kept going back and working at a different camp, but working at camp through like university years. And then I actually was living in Ontario for a bit with my wife, and got on with Youth Unlimited. And then I've kind of been in, yeah. So I have all this camp experience and then quite a few years working with youth, like accidentally just sort of like on the side. And then all of a sudden, you know, being hired, and now this is what I'm doing. And then, you know, just so happened that we were back in Vancouver. I was leading a youth group in the city, and Brian Burchett's daughter was in said youth group, and here I am chatting with you guys. So yeah, thankful in that process to even now, when we're talking about like, how do you explain what you do, or like, how do you sort of like explain yourself or justify what you're doing? And I'm very thankful that I don't necessarily carry a similar weight that some people have of needing to sort of present it cleanly on this platter of like, this is who I am and this is what I'm doing, you know? But can certainly resonate with that. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that makes so much sense, Alex. And the thing, if I can jump off of, mm-hmm. I said, the thing that's so interesting is that a lot of the people I went to university with that now have the clean, nice on the silver platter jobs have either re-explored occupations or are going through a bit of a crisis where they're realizing they don't actually love what they do. And what they do is a lot of time in their life. It's a significant chunk of their life, right? And so I think you're right. I think there's this sense of joy of enjoying what we do and loving what we do. And there's this gift in the sense that we are unique in loving what we do for a job, and that we get that special gift of mm-hmm. being in work that brings joy to us. I mean, Ben brings little joy to the role of the CFO. Yeah. So I don't want to speak for you, Ben, but I know you're in your early 30s as well.
Yeah, so. Well, for me, and I never wanted to work in a Christian organization. That was the one thing that I was very clear about. And, you know, so the Lord led me to InterVarsity quite by accident. And I'm a pastor's kid. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. So I'm a pastor's kid. I accepted the Lord when I was 11. And one thing for me has always been very clear. It doesn't really matter where I'm working. I'm in full-time ministry. I do not have a choice. So that's, you know, I don't want to sound, you know, pompous or this spiritual thing, but that once that became clear, it didn't, you know, it doesn't really matter. And even, you know, sometimes actually I hear conversations about, you know, really being invested in the mission of InterVarsity. Actually, I'm invested in the mission of Christ. And InterVarsity is a medium. If the Lord takes me tomorrow to a for-profit organization, same thing. You know, I need to be doing what God has called me to do. And I need to be the person that God has called me to. Now, I'm 55 years old, granted, right? So I've got a lot of life experience and having learned that, you know, like, you know, with CFO, you know, people think, oh my goodness, he must be a wizard with numbers and, oh, you know, ask him any question about, he must be so good with math and all of that. And I think, oh, really? And, you know, like, let me ask him about investments and let me ask him about tax. But you know what? The thing was, I discovered that I love systems. I have a passion for systems and I have a passion for people. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, you give me whatever title you want. You know, my specialty is accounting. But that's what I gravitate towards, because people are the systems. They make things work. So how do you take care of people? So, and that's not something that usually, you know, typically the title CFO is associated with. So, well, coming back to the question, did I want to, you know, I didn't have a choice or didn't want to choose working in a Christian organization. The Lord did take us and the whole family on a missionary journey for 4 years, 2008 to 2012, to India, which was, I never wanted to go back to India. Trust me. I said, nope. And, you know, and then the Lord took us there. That's another story. But when I was finishing the stint there, coming back to Canada, I remember thinking, what's next? You know, I did feel a sense that, you know, I need to be productive and I need to be useful. And that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to bring value, help an organization or a mission improve, like give confidence. And that's what fulfills me. And sometimes that involves accounting. I'm grateful for where I am. I love it here. But I think coming back to what you were saying, Vanessa, and I think what you were touching on, Alex, it's about being, it's loving what you do, you know? Mm. And I think recognizing that this is what God has made you to be. This is the person. You know, I cannot pretend, you know, like many times, I tell you, there were some leaders who are no longer leaders within InterVarsity who had long conversations with me to tell me how I should be behaving like a CFO, because I don't behave like a CFO. And, you know, it was curious to me because I've never had anybody, I've had, you know, I'm 32 years experience. And, you know, out of that, I think if you talk about experience, work experience, 22 years working with senior leadership, not just nationally, internationally. And you know what? This is the way I am. I don't know any other way to be, you know? And sometimes when people say that, you know, a thought creeps into my mind and say, oh, I wonder if Alex has enough respect for me because I did that or I said that. Or I wonder if Vanessa has enough respect for me. Trust me, that never crosses my mind.
Good.
I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. But again, I mean, sorry, to wrap it all up, it's like, you know, this is what the Lord has made us to be. This is the way I am. Mm. And while I make a fool of myself, I also need to, you know, do what I'm called to do, which is workplace, you know, systematize, stabilize. That's what I do. And then encourage, empower, and inspire. You know, so mm-hmm. How do I do all of that and get to be called whatever? You know, right now it's CFO, so works for me.
Ben, that's so great because, yeah, like the final point I wanted to make when I was sort of saying my stuff was sort of along those same lines. And I think what you're saying, like, just preach, brother, because like I worded it how like, oh, I'm in this position and it was a big joyful accident, right? And that's a very like, just kind of bringing levity mm-hmm. to it. It is somewhat true, but the reality is I'm here because myself and also my wife and I have made some very key decisions and commitments like in our marriage and in our lives as far as what's important to us and what we want to follow, right? And you know, just the conviction in our first year of marriage of, you know, seeking first his kingdom. And it's just like, okay, oh, first is like pretty clear. Like it's not after dinner, it's now. And actually together being like, we're going to take this seriously. And we thought that meant we were going to go to help out at a camp in Vancouver for a summer and then come back. And we did that. And then we just kind of forgot to go home to Ontario and buy that house we were going to buy. And then 6 years later, I'm here working at a different camp, doing all this stuff, you know, and she's, you know, continuing to nurse as well. But yeah, I think there's that balance of like, what are the things that we're taking seriously, as you're saying, and what are those priorities? And I think if we're taking seriously the right things, then that allows us to actually be over here and not be as serious about certain things, which actually puts us in this position where, you know, there is, you know, a joyfulness that allows us to really enjoy what we're doing because it's not necessarily easy, you know? And I think, yeah, in my mind, you know, maturity is just the ability to know when it's a good time to be immature and then have at her, right? So I just, anyways, just that's more just to affirm what you're saying. Like, I love what, all of that. And, but it does come down to prioritizing and taking seriously the things that do matter. Mm. And all of a sudden you're in this position, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that I have to say, you know, now in retrospect, working in a Christian organization, so as to speak, is, you know, is I do recognize the ease, like the comfort that I have in communicating with anyone I meet from InterVarsity. Like I don't have to think twice. Whereas when I was in my other roles, yeah, sure, you know, I was still myself. However, I would just, you know, kind of recalibrate, you know, to say, wait a minute, you know. But with, so for example, with you guys, you know, you're my brothers and sisters. And, you know, being a part of the family, being part of the family of God, you know, that is something that I felt in the past. Now it's been about 4 years now that I've been with InterVarsity. And I think that ease and that comfort, you know, not to say that I haven't had difficult conversations, not to say that, you know, I can be pretty blunt, you know, and all of that. And I think ultimately, you know, we need to do and discharge the responsibility that we've been called for, right? That there's compassion and there's grace and there's accountability and there's responsibility. And, you know, mm-hmm. to marry all of them, you know, I've also had to apologize many times. And it's, so that's, you know, but I think, you know, working in a Christian organization has just blessed me in this way, that this level of camaraderie, I can just pick up the phone and speak to an Alex Meeking, whom I don't really know technically, but I can talk to him because, you know, he's my brother. He's my brother in the Lord. And that to me is fantastic. I love that.
I hear that. And I think one thing I learned really early on my time on campus was that I don't think as Christians we're called to take ourselves too seriously. And I love peace around maturity is basically just knowing when you shouldn't be immature. But I think when you're working with youth and young adults, you can't take yourself too seriously. And also, isn't it just very InterVarsity of us to feel like this is the place to be able to have camaraderie and to be ourselves and to thrive in all the giftings we actually have been created. I can picture Kathy Nichol like sitting with us on the Zoom call if they had Zoom in the 80s, which they didn't, but I could picture her just encouraging us saying like, this is the journey, right? Like this is why we're in a varsity, is that we give each other space to be and to grow and to learn and to say sorry when we need to. And I just think that's the good gift, right? At the end of the day, when we stand before Jesus, we're not going to account for, you're not going to account, Ben, for all the times that you acted like a perfect CFO. You're going to account for the times that you loved his people and that you brought people to know him. And I think it's just a good gift to not have to take ourselves too seriously.
And at the same time, Vanessa, I think it's important for us to also, you know, build in structures to take care of that, because, you know, I can be frivolous. I can, you know, like, so what I've done is, for example, I know we are straying from the original question here, Sanjana, but, you know, like one of the things that I've done in my leadership team is that I have an accountability partner and he will remain unnamed. And one day I reached out to him and I said, hey, I want you to tell me when I'm either going overboard on the negativity and, you know, being too, you know, cut and dry and crisp, or on the other side. And, you know, it's so while we are free, while, you know, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, at the same time, I think this this question of self-awareness, I think, is one of the biggest callings that each one of us has, wherever, whatever station we are in, you know, and to recognize, you know, who we are, what are we being, and, you know, and then I have several accountability partners, my wife being number one of them. And, you know, she tells me all the time when I'm being this. Can we see that?
Well, I really appreciate how much you guys like your jobs. So I think like that has not, I mean, oh, this will sound weird, but it has not always been my experience of talking to other staff in InterVarsity. And I think like, Vanessa, you mentioned like some of your friends who aren't with the organization anymore. We have some of the same friends. So like, I think there are very discrete and like tangible challenges that come with what we do. And you guys have named some of them, right? And I do wonder if there's some element of like still looking back at the what ifs or looking ahead to the what ifs. I know, like, and maybe it is just an age and stage thing, right? Ness, you can tell me what it's like looking back from early 30s, late 20s over here. I'm still playing with the 18 options that I have in front of me. But I appreciate your perspective on what a gift it is to be able to do something that you actually have conviction behind, and that like matters in the scope of eternity, and also that is humbling, like something that makes you reassess what your priorities are, and also just like is a joy to do. I think I really appreciate that. Yeah, do you think there are like personality collaborations or ministry collaborations that you'd be like really interested to see happen?
I'll speak to that. I think it's critical because, you know, we need to open up channels of communication, right? So if you continue to look at and I'll just take my role. If you look at a CFO as a CFO, you know, I don't want to keep people at bay, you know, or people to think, oh, you know what, Ben must be really busy and, you know, he must be doing a million things, or, you know, let me not encroach on his time, you know, because he's so high up in the organization. You know, that's all made up stuff, by the way. So in order to increase collaboration, it's very important for us to open channels of communication. It's important for us to get comfortable with one another, to have the confidence that I can reach out to Vanessa, I can reach out to Alex and say, hey, Alex, what's going on over here? And, you know, and even to the extent that if I have to ask a hard question to Alex, I'm comfortable doing that. Of course, that is predicated on building a relationship, first of all. So I think opening the channels of communication, breaking down these, you know, these even not even silos, but these perceived or these perceptions of, oh, he's a CFO or she's a student minister or he's a student minister, so that's how they are, kind of a thing. I don't know if that makes sense.
I so agree with that, Ben. I think personally, if I can share from my personal experience for a minute, I think a lot of my 20s working with InterVarsity, it felt like I had to be something that I wasn't to be good at my job. And it felt like there was this quick turning point where Jesus just kind of messed that whole ideology up and said, like, I've just called you to be you, and I've called you to like do what you're gifted at. And also, like, you're okay that you're not an accountant, right? Like, that's actually okay. Like, there's a gifted partnership, but like working for InterVarsity doesn't mean you need to fit into a certain box. Like, there is no InterVarsity box, right? But I think I felt that for a long time, that there was a certain box that I had to fit into to do well at my job. And honestly, once I felt the freedom to just be myself, which is the kind of person that would go back to somebody's awkwardness 20 minutes ago and say, I'm sorry you felt that, or it is the it is the, like, I laugh so hard I snort about 90% of the time. There's like, there's a gift to be able to ministry out of that and to be able to enjoy that and celebrate that. And then there's also a gift to be able to realize your limitations and to be able to say, I actually need partnership, or I need help from somebody who's incredibly different from me. So right now in this season, like in our HSM model, Ashley Chan and I are sharing this role, which we're overseeing some of the high school stuff nationally. And it's brilliant. I mean, A, she's been my friend for a really long time, but B, Ashley and I could not be any more different. Like if you had us in the same room, we are, we're both loud. That's about the similarity in our personality. And there's such a good gift to just be able to like celebrate what you bring and also celebrate what somebody else brings, and to not feel insecure in the, oh, I'm not a CFO. I probably will never be a CFO. I'm not good at accounting. And just to be able to be like, okay, that's fine. I'm not as like cool as, you know, Sanj. That's okay. Yeah, all right.
I mean,
that's okay.
You could be. I feel like a lot of my coolness just comes from this like velvet Adidas shirt. I just bought that. You can buy
it. I keep.
Oh, from being in Halifax.
Yeah, that too. Being hours and hours ahead of everyone else also makes me cooler.
I want this year. I want the ministry collab with you.
Yeah.
For you to teach me how to be cooler, because.
Okay.
So.
Not happening on my own.
So Vanessa, with you and Ashley collaborating well together, like we've been talking a lot about self-awareness, like our own giftings, and you're saying like, you can recognize that you and Ashley are very different. But you only get to that place of recognizing that by like working through what those differences are. So I think one of the opportunities we have both with this podcast and in this season is to actually try to clear up some of the maybe misunderstandings we have between ministries and what we think other people think that we do. I think one of the things we're thinking about is like, what is something about your, like what you do that you think people might not fully understand, that it actually would help to know that as we're talking about collaborating together in the future. So that's kind of for Vanessa and anyone else who might have something they feel like, oh, I don't know if people fully get this part of what I do.
Yeah. This is all really cool. I've just been listening the last couple of minutes too, because that, like those questions, Sanjana, and like the way, this is a conversation that Dave and I specific, Dave Winstone and I, well, I guess Dave Easton now too, all the Daves, me and the Daves have been chatting for a while. Yeah. I've only been with InterVarsity for 2 and a bit years now. I don't have previous a relationship with InterVarsity at all. Like I was never part of a group, anything like that. But I have worked in youth specific ministry and camp specific ministry before. And so coming in and meeting Dave and connecting with the BC team, which is awesome. It might actually be ranked number one across the nation right now, right? The
like BC in team. Five.
At least number one in humility. Yeah.
I'm talking about campus. Sorry, not no. And meeting the BC team, it's been, I stepped into an existing camp and campus relationship that Dave and Brian had worked hard to create around. We're in ministry together, and we interact together throughout the year. Campus is present at camp, vice versa. And since coming in, Dave and I continue to try to think of ways and abilities and how do we connect. And it was so not this past summer, but summer 2019, basically every single campus minister was at camp for a minimum of 3 weeks, and it was on the camp side was just amazing. Speaking of self-aware people in ministry, it was just beautiful to have them all at camp. But it was really cool. I'm going to answer by sharing an example. Was two of the campus ministers came up to help direct the LIT program at camp. and they'd been up for a few days and were sort of sorting through the program and the schedule with the other LIT leaders. And both of whom, not a lot of camp experience, I think none for one of them, just camp isn't their thing. Hadn't really had that experience. And personality wise, you know, they're sitting there as they watch all these like 19 to 23 year olds just rage because they're like, rah, rah, camp, we're having fun, you know? And meanwhile, you have the, you know, the ISTJs, the quiet ones, and they're sitting there being like, hey, I actually just don't know if this space is for me. And that was a really important and very fair assumption that they had. And we sat and we chatted for a good chunk of a night, actually, just talking through that. And the whole time, me coming from the perspective of like, that's why I want you here, is because we actually need you. We have enough of this over here. And what we actually need is I need the person who can spot the person, the kid in the corner all by themselves that is, you know, timid and doesn't really want to, you know, isn't necessarily fitting this framework, which is the classic summer camp vibe, you know. All that to say, they were absolutely exceptional. And it was this really cool process, me with them, of like just finding what their space was in this leadership role. And the reality was, is the level of discipleship within that LIT program was quite exceptional, that these two just really brought a groundedness and a thoughtfulness that, you know, us ENFPs can't really walk in with right off the bat, you know, without having grown in self-awareness, etc., you know. And so I don't know if that fully answers the question of like understanding what each other does, but it was a really great experience of seeing the value that each, you know, it's like, oh, I fit better over here with university students having these grander discussions and having a bit more of a sit down and discussion or sit down one-on-one discipleship focus. But the reality is that is actually 100% what we do at camp as well. And vice versa, right? And I think sometimes there can just be assumptions of like what that looks like, whereas there's actually just a need for everything on both sides.
That was part two of our discussion on what do you think I do?
So an interesting fact, I've known Vanessa for years, and while we were recording this, I totally butchered pronouncing her last name correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty embarrassing. We cut it from the tape. No one will ever hear how bad it was. But it got us thinking, even with the best of intentions, we can often mispronounce one another's names in this movement. So here's how we would love to give you an opportunity to take part in the Sanjana Needs a Friend podcast. Do you have a name that often gets mispronounced? If so, we invite you to record your name and the correct pronunciation in a clip that is less than 15 seconds. Anything past that, we're not going to include it. But if you can record it in less than 15 seconds, and email it to dstone@ivcf.ca by the end of February, we will use your voice in one of our upcoming podcasts. Maybe I will be one of those people recording my name so you can know.
Yeah, as will I. And we'll practice it every week on this show. By the end of this podcast, everyone in the movement will know how to say my name.
Yes.
Well, that they might not, but you won't have an excuse. So,
come back and listen to Sanjana and Dave Nguyenstein.
Yes. Talking more with Vanessa Cordeps. Also, there is some bonus content on the website. So for this episode, there's some memes that were put together by the staff guests on the episode, as well as our artistic director, Archie. We don't really have real titles in this project, but if I were to give her one, it would be artistic director, as well as information on our guests, mostly just their names and faces and emails, so you can get in touch with them if there was something you heard that you thought, hey, I want to talk to that person more about that thing. And every episode, there will be bonus content. So scroll past the player on the website and enjoy.
And you can come back every other Monday for a new episode. And anytime we have a two-part episode like this one, the first part will be posted on the Monday and the second part will be posted on the Thursday. So thanks for joining us, and I hope you feel like you've made some more friends.
I sure have.